everyone. Welcome to episode 20 of Marketing Omelets Podcast. And today we're going to do a marketing roundtable. We're going to do these every so often, and we're going to have different people come in and just talk about current events in marketing. So whatever's going on that week or that couple of weeks, we're going to kick back and talk about. And we have Eric Unks from Iowa, who's on one podcast, which I don't know if you know about, is the 380 Social Podcast with John, who's been on the podcast talking iPad a couple of weeks ago. So welcome to the podcast.
Appreciate it. I'm very happy to be here.
So tell the podcasting world a little bit about you.
Absolutely. Like you stated before, here in Iowa, three others, and including myself, we put together a 380 Social, kind of a social media networking group and things like that with internet marketing. So we have a podcast and some activity on our Ning site. By day, I work at Aegon, a financial services company and a life insurance company, doing marketing coordinating and some social media things in there. So at night, you know, in the night, do some freelance things, but kind of not non-broadcasting, just kind of sit back and wait for things to come. But yeah, extremely busy, fun stuff.
Very cool. I think luckily everyone's busy lately. So
absolutely,
busy is
a good thing, though. I enjoy
it. Exactly. So the topics we're going to talk about tonight are, the first one we'll get kicking off with would be Facebook. So we have two different things talking. First thing we'll talk about is the likes in Facebook and what...
Oh, yes.
Okay, I've heard other people complain about the likes. I've complained. I started a blog post today and I forgot we were covering this, so the blog post may never see it. But likes have sort of been a pain in the butt for growing a page. Because I know a couple pages I deal with, it before likes came about, when you're fans, it would grow, then sort of level off, grow some more, level off. And since fans have come out, it sort of just leveled off and slightly grow, and it'll like dip down and come back up. And it's just, I don't think it's conducive for fan pages. And I've heard a couple different people say that it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, and you know, I can see that. It's essentially changed the whole speak within Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, we go from fanning a page to liking not only, you know, a comment or an image, but the brand. So, I mean, I think it's the initial change and sudden shock of the users actually having to like a page. So, in the end, I think it's just a word.
Yeah.
Whether it's friend, follow, fan, like, or whatever, it's what you're trying to achieve is the actual connection. So if you can get beyond that initial, the initial word, I think you'll see some progress.
Until they change it again.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, as time goes on, I think, you know, as people become more accustomed to the like, you'll see that those likes, you know, fanning go up.
Yeah.
I think it's just the initial change that people aren't always too keen on.
Yeah, and I think fan is a little bit closer connotation to people who really like you and like it. Some are like, okay, I like this. Oh, but I don't like it this week. Oh, I like this.
Right.
So,
yeah, and along with that, I mean, fan set the brand pages apart from everything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, like is, okay, you like a fan page, or, you know, you like a brand business page, but you also like a comment, you like an image, you like them. So, I mean, it's not unique, it's not, you know, that in of itself.
Exactly. I think, I would love to know their reasoning for doing it, because at times I think Facebook just seems sort of, oh, today we'll do this. Let's go do this. Oh, we didn't like that. We'll do this now. Because I know I just read today they released the media pages.
Yep. So, and did you see what else they released today?
They did the questions.
Yeah, the questions. That'll be interesting.
So it's like, okay.
That opens up a whole new can of worms, because once you post something there, that's out on the internet. You know, that's to viewable to 500 million plus. So that'll be interesting to see the reaction.
Because I was reading it, I think, on Facebook today. And it's like, well, you can ask a question, you can post a picture, and like, what bird is this? If you're a bird hunter. Or what was the other one? Something else. And I'm going, really?
Yeah, you can do an image question or a poll.
Poll, that was the other one. So I'm like, great. I can see people going, was I right or was my boyfriend right? Questions coming up. I'm just, no.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of nonsense.
So it's like, It's going to be what was that show? They used to have a show, I think, a while back where you voted on who was right. It would be like the marriage ref. That's what I'm thinking. Oh. Who's right?
Yeah, I saw a couple episodes of that.
Except now you got all of Facebook voting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Just like, you know, anything else, it's so new, and I mean, everything changes so fast.
Yeah.
It's hard to even get used to one thing.
Yeah,
and Facebook. But you know, with the fan, I mean, that was the original thing, and
see,
so that's caught a lot of people off guard.
That's what surprised me, because it has been since the beginning, and they just changed it. And I'm going, what? It's like, why did you change that? It was fine the way it was.
Right.
They want to take over the internet, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they make their own rules, and people abide by them.
Yes.
I mean, it's a free service, and people, it's their communication tool. It's a way to connect to folks that you're close to around the world.
Exactly.
I'm hearing rumors, too, that, you know, on the Facebook fan pages, they're going to get rid of all custom side boxes. So it kind of looks like a profile, just like yours or my page.
Well, they tried to do that with the tabs, and it backfired on them.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. I don't think that would be happening with the tabs, for sure.
So, because they did it only if you have a certain amount of fans and are a registered Facebook page, could you have customized tabs, and that lasted, 8 hours? It wasn't long until people started bitching, and it's like, oh, okay, we'll change it back. So it just makes me wonder what they're doing at times. I'm like, do you really know what you're doing? Or is it just like one of my first retail job ever at Toys R Us? I had a store manager who was crazy, and one of the department heads came up to me and she goes, see that man over there? Well, he's crazy, and he'll say to you, everyone must wear purple to work tomorrow. She goes, you just smile, nod, and go, uh-huh, okay, thank you. So that's what I think they're doing. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, for, you know, as far as the likes, do you think their mindset was to kind of get that thought into their mind, you know, I like a comment, I like an image, I might as well like a brand. You know what I mean?
That's my question.
Kind of gets it into their routine. But, you know, not right off the bat. But once it becomes more familiar, they're more apt to click like.
Well, I'm hoping they keep it and don't change it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they will change it, because I think it fits into their open graph mentality.
So
their overall, you know, scope of it.
Because it's just like, okay, come on, just leave it alone for a little while. Stop changing everything. They have changed the first page, when you sign in page, a little bit. I noticed in the last week, the sidebar, and I'm like, okay. But I was like one of the few who liked when they majorly redesigned the first page. I was like one of the only people who liked it, and everyone else was like, I hate it. I want to go back. I'm like, I actually like this better. They finally did something.
I mean, that's majority of the users aren't keen on change. I mean, that's with a lot of people. I mean, I like the change. I think it switches things up a little bit. But a lot of people don't. I mean, they're stuck in their routine. They enjoy their daily routine, and they enjoy seeing the same thing. It's what they're familiar with.
Yep. And I saw a Facebook rep speak here in Atlanta about a year and a half ago. Because when they first majorly redesigned everything, he goes, the biggest group right now is the one that changed Facebook back to the way it was. It was like 3 million people. He goes, let them do what they want to. They're still on Facebook, so we don't care.
Exactly. Just so, like the day to quit Facebook. How many actually quit Facebook? You know what I mean?
Well, I knew one person who was going to do it who is still on Facebook, I might add.
Exactly, yeah.
But he was like, well, it's security and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if you're worried about security, you don't need to be on the internet. Period.
Exactly. The internet is a public place.
And he was like, privacy. That was it. I'm like, if you're on the internet, you got none. So I was like, Facebook?
So that's where, again, with the questions, that new feature with the questions, I think a lot of people are going to overlook that it's automatically a public statement.
Yes.
With your photo.
Yes.
And I think there's going to be a lot of backfire there.
Well, that'll take us into our second topic, which is Mark Zuckerberg on ABC News with Diane Sawyer. And to be honest, I don't know about him, because he has his own vision.
Yeah.
And he wants that vision, and he doesn't care about anything else.
Well, I mean,
which most innovators usually do. It's like, I see the vision, I want it, I'm going to do it.
Right.
But the one question that stood out the most, so if everyone hasn't seen it, I posted it on the blog so you can go watch it, was they were talking about privacy, and she goes, well, can't you just default set it to only your friends see it. And his response was, well, there are people who want to share with everyone. And I'm going, well, you didn't answer the question.
I think at the end of the day, everyone knows what their main goal is, and that's to have as much data publicly visible as possible.
Yeah. But her point was, he goes, well, there are people who want to share with everyone. I'm like, yeah, but...
And that's why he doesn't do interviews that often.
Yeah, because he comes off a little arrogant, is really the way it came off to me. And I'm like, okay, seriously? I was like, you really need to get a spokesperson for Facebook. You really need to get someone out there.
Does anybody really do public appearances other than...
No, you know, I haven't seen anyone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, get you a public face. You are no Steve Jobs, okay?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, the man's a master.
That's definitely one thing that he lacks is the public speak. I mean, could you imagine he's 26 years old and he's this leader of this, you know, third country, essentially. You know what I mean?
Well, they're supposed to go public, aren't they? Aren't they going public?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what their plans are there.
Still, I've heard rumors, and I'm like, well, if he goes public, it's all going to change.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Because it's going to be no more, okay, here's what we want. It's like, nope, the stockholders are in charge now.
Yep, absolutely. So that's why I don't think he's rushing into that idea.
Well, one thing I will give him is he has focused on the user experience over everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't overloaded it with ads. He hasn't,
right.
Because that was one of my big complaints with MySpace, where the ads and everything they had on there was like...
It just got too busy. I mean,
it was too busy. It was too much, and I canceled my MySpace like a month ago.
I did too.
I was like, I haven't logged in a year, so.
Right. Yeah, and to be successful, you really do have to focus on the user experience.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to provide them with something that's easy to navigate and, you know, not distracting.
Definitely.
At the end of the day, they're the ones that are, you know, writing your paychecks, essentially.
Yeah. So that I will give him. I think it's one of the brilliant things they have done, and that's probably one of the reasons they're so successful is for that reason alone. Because when the one rep spoke the event, he goes, well, we could overload with ads, but right now we don't have to. We're making money. We're making enough money. Granted, we could make more if we wanted to, but we're making enough to get us and have extra, so why rush it? So I'm like, I agree.
Right.
So we'll see. They have who knows what their plans are. I keep saying if they get in social search, they'll roll it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have all the information. And I talked to, who was it? Clayton Morse from Today in Social Media about it a little bit. And I'm like, yeah. But also you have Google Me coming out soon.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens there.
So we'll see if how it's going to play out with me. Because I'm like, Buzz kind of sucked.
Buzz was awful.
Buzz, when I saw what it could do, I was like, oh, this has some potential. This is cool. Okay, I can see that. And then it never really went anywhere. It's like, huh?
No, yeah. Anytime for me anyways, anytime you mess with my email with a social aspect, I don't want anything to do with it. I mean, it was just cluttered. It was overflowing with, you know, information and content that I already read elsewhere. You know, people just fed their... You know, content from Twitter, Facebook, Google Reader, and everything. So it's just catching it twice.
I had a friend who does their blog, their Twitter, everything through Buzz. And I was just like, really? Really? I'm like, I've already seen all this. Why are you putting
it
here?
Exactly.
So, yeah. So we'll see. I've heard different things about it, but I haven't heard anything specific yet or when they're actually coming out.
Yeah. Really haven't heard too much about the details. All I've heard is it's different from Facebook, which I don't know what that is.
Let's hope they didn't go the MySpace route.
Exactly.
But from what I have heard about me, is it's going to roll in like Wave, Buzz, and a bunch of other things into one. So
right. And Wave didn't get a good following. I really like Wave as a collaboration tool.
When it first came out, everyone was like, eh, but like everything, they add to it. So now it's a lot better than it was.
Right. It's more open as far as who you can invite.
So now that they opened up the, it's now in an open, it is open now, isn't it? Where anyone can sign up for it.
Yep. With any email.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
Also, the one thing I have been loving there from Google is Google Voice.
I haven't dabbled into that.
So, if you want one number for anyone to call you, all you have to do is get a Google Voice number, put in your phone number, and either ring them in order, or All at Once. It has voicemail there. You can text from there, and it's free calls through to anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. So Google Voice is amazing. So I hand it to them. I'm like, good job. But I have a friend who always complains with Google is they always take someone else's idea and then try to make it better. Because they haven't had... nothing they've done has been original. Search wasn't original. Email wasn't original. Wave wasn't original. Everything. He goes, well, they bought Grand Central for Google Voice. So he's like, we'll see. He goes, I don't have much hope in it. So I'm like...
Well, the things that they're mimicking, they're definitely making better. I mean, yeah. You look at Search, you look at Gmail, you look at all the Google apps. They're definitely evolving.
Gmail definitely is my favorite. I love it. I hate all the other ones now, unless it's my actual email through mail. Everything else is like, don't want to deal with it. Sorry. Pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, we'll see with me. I'm just like, hurry up already. We want to see this. But I know they hired someone a while back to do their social, so I don't know who they got, but I remember seeing the posting.
Yeah. So that'll definitely be interesting to keep an eye out on.
But I was talking, to my same friend. He's like, Google is so you have to be from the right school with the right GPA. So it sort of limits their thinking. I think that's their biggest problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was going to apply at Google, and a good friend of mine, her husband works there. And she told me, she goes, you don't want to work there. I'm like, why? She goes, you have to be the right school, the right GPA, or they don't even look at you. I was like, serious? She goes, yeah. She goes, do you have like a 3.5 or better? And I was like, oh, no. She's like, don't even apply.
It's an easy way to filter out their income resumes.
But that keeps a certain mindset. I'm like, they're going to have to expand that and get some more creativity in there. Because it's like, you need to branch out a little bit. So, but it's crazy.
Sure is.
So I guess we'll end our discussion on Facebook. So like I said, if you haven't seen the interview, go see it. It's only like 6 minutes long, I think.
Yeah, so not very long.
It's very short. It's shorter than I thought it was going to be. I figured they were actually going to do like a whole prime time or 2020 with thing, but nope, it was 6 minutes. So
yeah, they got the short end. I mean, I was same thinking as you. I thought they were going to get the whole half hour.
Nope, 6 minutes. Thank you, and move on. So. With that, we'll move on to one of the new things that came out last week. I'm sure most of you read about it, was that Amazon is selling more ebooks than physical books. So I was amazed that it's done so fast.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And it's kind of interesting. Mashable did their poll, their weekly poll, which you prefer. And their last week's was ebooks versus print books. And the Mashable audience outnumbered the printed books. Printed books had 41% versus the ebooks 23%.
Wow.
Which I found very astounding versus comparing who the Mashable audience is.
Yes.
You know, I'm assuming the Mashable audience, very technological savvy, social savvy. Yes. So I would think they'd be more keen and more apt to go out and buy, these tech gadgets. But I think it just goes to show that it's very hard to replace the emotion and the experience with holding a printed book.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but I don't think it's going to have a tremendous impact on the book publishing industry.
No, I actually, one of my lunches, I attended one of the people there. She does marketing for a textbook company, mm-hmm. And I was asking her. I was like, so how is the iPad affecting textbooks? So, I figure more students are going to be getting iPad versions versus physical, because I'm like, books suck to carry around.
Yeah.
They're heavy, they're a pain in the butt. And I'm like, so students have got to be buying more. And she's like, no, not really. She goes, we haven't seen a significant difference yet. She goes, they still want to be able to highlight and write in the book.
Right, right.
So I'm like, I didn't think of that. So
yeah, but I think... With the textbooks are a little different than the the novels and the printed reading books. I think with the textbooks they are very heavy and have a backpack walking around campus. But I think as the iPad and those apps evolve, I think you will be seeing more textbooks. Yeah. I mean, there are already highlighting features, sticky note features on the iPad. So I mean, I think you will start to see that shift. But I don't see it so much with the printed novel. I think. With these numbers coming out from Amazon, I think it's just the initial I want an e-reader.
Yeah, you want a Kindle, you want an iPad, you want something.
Right.
And they're cool and all, but when I saw them, I was like, eh, I don't want to read books on that. I want to actually hold it and do it. And
right.
But I'm like, that's just me. And a friend of mine has a Kindle, and I played with it. And I'm like, it's not color. He's like, no, it's black and white. I'm like, well, I don't want black and white.
Right. So. Yeah. I mean, I do think there's a place for both of them, though. Honestly, yeah. As a busybody, a traveler, you know, instead of having a magazine, a book, a newspaper, just, you know, slap out the e-reader. Versus the more that, you know, who just want to and enjoy the pleasure that goes along with reading an actual book, the touch, yep. The feel, the emotions, you know, sitting on your couch on a cold winter day in front of the fire reading a book. You're physically involved with the content.
Definitely.
You know, you can touch it, you're physically involved with the content.
And one other thing I heard someone say on another podcast was, cover art's gone, so you can't strike up conversations at the beach or on the subway of what they're reading because you don't know what they're reading.
Right, exactly.
But then they went on to say, but yet that's also going to be a good thing for publishers because people are going to buy books they don't want to be seen reading. They're going to buy like Kim Kardashian story or the Paris Hilton autobiography, but they wouldn't be called dead reading anywhere. And they're like, oh no, I'm reading Tolstoy. Yeah. So I was like, so it's kind of a double-edged sword there. Yeah, you can't really see what they're reading, but some people will read their trashy novels and be like, oh, I'm reading something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
And I'm hearing a lot, too, comparing the book and e-reader, the print book with the e-reader to, you know, the music industry with CDs to MP3 files or the encyclopedia to Wikipedia. I think both of those are in their own league. I think the printed book and the e-reader are uniquely in their own league. Where the CDs, MP3, I mean, to have a CD versus an MP3, the CD, it's a physical object, but you stick it in your CD player. You're not actually touching, feeling, or smelling the content or the value you're receiving out of that content. With a book, you're actually holding and experiencing from cover to cover what's inside of there.
Yep.
And as far as the encyclopedias, A, they're heavy, and B, there's what? 30 books? I mean, who wants to have that in their shelves these days?
Yeah, and it changes so fast anyway, so...
Right, exactly.
You have to buy a new set every time you turn around. But that's why they always had the addendums they always put out every year.
Right.
But my point was, who wants to look through them to find the information?
Right.
Not me. So, yeah, being online, that's better, but... And this was a point, I forget who brought it up, it's like, no previous version of our previous thing has killed off the first medium. So MP3s hasn't killed off vinyl. They're still vinyl. So
cool.
And they're like, books are still going to be around. It's like, they may not be everything, but they're like, you're still going to have books. You still have vinyl. You still have, there'll still be newspapers. Everyone's like, there will still be them, but they won't be completely dead. And I'm like, that's a good point.
That is a very good point. And I think with the books, I think there's just too much emotion and experience attached to those printed books. I mean, how many people out there still have their books they grew up with, the books that their parents read to them and hopefully one day read to their kids? I mean, there's a lot of history in keeping books. You know, go to a book sign and get it signed. You can't get it signed on an e-reader.
Yep.
There's just a lot of value, and there's a lot of emotion and experience tied into those printed books.
Definitely. I was just thinking about that, a promotion. That's the big part of promoting books are those book signings.
Right.
You get to meet the author, you get to talk,
mm-hmm.
but with e-readers, that's not there. Although, somebody told me just recently, someone had it on their Kindle, and he signed their Kindle.
Oh,
I think it was Jeffrey Hazlett I just had on. He has his new book. And he said, I signed his Kindle, the back of his Kindle. I was like, well.
Oh, at least it was the back of the Kindle.
Yeah, it wasn't the front. But it was the back, and I was like, wow. He's like, yep. I was like, well, that's different. So...
Yeah.
But I'm like,
a year there'd be 12 signatures on the back.
So I said, there's only so many you could do on the back. So yeah, I think e-readers are around to stay, and I think if they do them right, especially with magazines, there's amazing things they can do with them. But with the interactivity, video, whatnot, but they still have got to get around to it because I think who was it they're talking about? Wired. has one of the best magazines right now on the iPad.
Oh, really?
To do the interactive. I haven't seen it yet, but they're talking about it. And I know Virgin is coming out with an entrepreneur magazine that is just iPad and Amazon, not Amazon, Android tablet.
Right, right.
So that'll be interesting. So it's going to change the way, but I think it's going to be tech people first.
Exactly.
And then go to the general public like most things do.
Right. And as far as the Virgin magazine, I mean, who is their audience? I mean, it's the tech, it's entrepreneurs, it's the tech savvy, it's the younger business entrepreneur type. So they're more apt to, you know, keen in on an iPad versus, you know, if it was a gardening magazine, would they get much readership or viewership on an iPad? Probably, most likely not.
Yeah. So it's very interesting what's going to happen in that space. And I know it's opening a world up, and I know we won't go on the whole Adobe Flash thing, but that's a whole different show. But don't get me started on Flash. But and they were talking about Adobe is not going into the market, but they said the Wired magazine was made on was InDesign.
Oh, really?
So the capabilities are there, and they're like, if Adobe does not jump on this, someone else is going to do it.
Right.
So if they don't put this functionality in there to do it, then it's like, oh, you're done.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, but yeah, Flash is a whole different kettle of fish.
Sure is. Yeah, it's like you said, it's going to be interesting with magazines on the iPad. Just incorporating the app in an app, the advertisement, the video. I think it's going to be very, very interactive, and you know, it's going to be fun to read.
Yeah, because I've told a friend of mine, I was like, I can picture magazines where you flip the pages, then you can scroll through pictures, you can put video in, watch video. And it's like, and if there's something breaking, you can update it right then.
Right.
So it's up to date, and you know, we have to print a new copy. Because I think they were talking when George Steinbrenner died, they put him on the cover of one, but it was still LeBron on the other.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, if you did an e-magazine, you could just change it out before it did it. No problem.
Yep.
So we'll see. And then I know the New York Times, they were saying, was more expensive than the subscription itself.
Really?
Yeah, it's more expensive than the current online subscription. And I think they said close to the actual paper's cost. And they're like,
is the same content on all?
Same content.
Really?
But
that hardly makes sense.
But they were pointing out, but the first people who buy the iPads don't really care.
Right.
They have the money. They're going to do it. And if you can afford one now, do it. Because it was like, the price is only going to drop from here on out. So
that business strategy will be definitely changing.
Yeah.
Once the iPad drops in price a little bit, and it's more of a general public using platform.
Exactly. Because I know version 2, they're going to come up with all new bells and whistles, and then keep this version and drop the price. And so, Apple always does it that way. And I told friends, I was like, if you don't like it, just wait to version 2. There will be something you like. I was like, look at the iPhone. It started out simple, no camera, just regular, and now you got a video camera that's HD quality. So, all in 4 years. So,
oh, yeah.
So, I was like, it's all going to change, and we'll change the way we do marketing, which is always fun.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun. It's changing right before our eyes.
That's what
I told keeps us on our toes.
People about social media, if you don't like it, just wait a day. Literally, it'll change. Something will happen. So, but that's good and bad. I tell friends who are not familiar with the space, I'm like, it's good you always learn, but it's bad because you always have to keep on top of everything.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I learn something new every single day. New tool, new approach, new this and that. I mean, it's such an evolving space. Like you said, it's fun because everything is so fresh. You know what I mean? We only have a couple big brands using this, and we only have a couple big brands using that. It's all trial and error, and you're seeing a lot of success, and you're seeing a lot of, you know, failures here and there. So, I mean, it's a lot to take in, but it's pretty exciting times.
Yeah, because I had friends complaining about the iAds that you had to do $1 million plus. I'm like, again, it's Apple. They're going to start off slow. Mm-hmm. They're not going to just say, everyone, get an iAd. So yeah, there are, and one of the brands here is getting, I forget who's, I'm not sure if Coke is doing one, but someone local is doing one of the agencies, and we're trying to get them to speak at a lunch, but I don't remember who it is now. So they're dealing with Apple, and I'm like, I love Apple, but I'm like, I really don't want to deal with you. really don't want to. It's like, you're going to be a pain in the butt to deal with. So, you make great products, but...
Yeah, they do.
No. Cool. So, I think that's all the topics we had today. And I don't think of anything else, unless you have anything.
No, I think we covered the agenda.
So, we'll do these from time to time. So, we'll definitely invite Eric back for them. And we're going to invite more people. Originally wanted to have three, but our third has disappeared. So, and he knows who he is.
Yes, he does.
And I have another local person who's interested, but he could not do it this week. So he'll do it in one of the other ones. So tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
You can find me mostly hanging out on Twitter, at Eric Ungs, ericungs. And you can find me occasionally on my blog, ericungs.com, with more of my info and bio.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
And we will definitely have you back soon.
Look forward to it.
Thank you for listening to Marketing Elements Podcast. You can reach me at tim@marketingelementsblog.com. You can find us on the web at marketingelementsblog.com. Look for us on Facebook or find us on Ning. It's marketingelements.ning.com. Thanks again, and we'll have another podcast out to you very soon.